Friday, the 2nd of July, Kof Tammuz, Rabbi Leibish Heller, Insights into Parshas Pinchas.
Rabbi Isai, it's on the paper that I'm going to speak on the Pasha, and believe me that if there is time at the end, I will address the Pasha a little bit. But at the first part, at least, it'll not be directly focused on the Pasha. The Pasuk says that Nasati Loy Lazaroi Bris Kohunas Oilom, Pinchas really was not entitled to Kohuna because the Meshicha Sakoyanim took place after he was born. So Elazar, his father, was the son of Aaron HaKoyen, and he eventually became the Kohen Gadol. But Pinchas was born before the Meshicha. So it was only because of what takes place in the end of last week's parasha that Pinchas was granted Kohuna. Loy Lazaroi Achar Vadoilom. I just want to share with you a tshuva that I came across from the Ben Ish Chai in the Sefer Torah Lishma. Shaila Sefer Torah Lishma, and now it's 100 years of the Pter of the Ben Ish Chai. And if you're ever looking for a fascinating read, any of the Sfarim of the Ben Ish Chai, in my humble opinion, are pili ploim. The scope and the approach is very unique. But there's a tshuva over there, Lagabei Amachloikis, that emerged amongst several Koyanim in a city in Bavel. Now here was the thing. The Koyanim of this city were all very eager to perform the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. They had a special chavivus for the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. What? Koyan. Oh. Now, Pidyon HaBen doesn't happen so often. Pidyon HaBen doesn't happen every day. It has to be a Petarechem, it has to be Aviv, the Imam Yisrael, so it wasn't so common in this small town that you'd have a Pidyon HaBen. Now all the Kohenim would contend for every candidate, for every child that was born under those conditions. So they decided, the Chachmei Ha'ir decided, they got together with all the Anshei Ha'ir, Baskoma, Malaya, of all the Toishvei Ha'ir, with all the Kohenim, and they said the following, we're going to make a Goyru. And we're going to put all the Kohenim into a pot, and whoever's name comes out first will be on top of the list, second will be the second on the list, and so on. So there'll be a clear rotor of all the Kohenim from top to bottom. And any child that is born that needs Pidyon HaBen will have to follow this list. This was a haskama on all the Bnei Ha'ir, that if a child is the first child, every year they would repeat this process. The first child that was born will be the chelek, will belong to the first Kohen on the list. The second child to be born, eligible for Pidyon HaBen, will be the chelek of the second Kohen on the list, and so on and so forth. And this way, the Shalom Mishalvo, everybody had their opportunity, everybody had their chance. But Hiyayoyim, it was one year in which a problem arose. What was the problem? The problem was that at the very beginning of the year, for argument's sake, we'll say it was in the month of Tishrei. The month of Tishrei, Isha Yisraelis, whose husband was Mi'Israel, gave birth to two twins, Zcharim. No, two Zcharim. A pair of twins. Zcharim, twins. Two twin brothers were born at the same time. Now, one of them would be a Bchor Peterech and the other one wouldn't. The problem was that there were no hospital recordings of what happened. And they didn't know which one is the Bukhari and which one is not. They mixed it up. Fine. It's not a big deal. It's not terrible because you make a pidyon now tonight. And you say, if this one is the Bukhari, then that's what the pidyon is going for. If this one is the Bukhari, that's what the pidyon is going for. Well, the problem is, the story doesn't end over here. Soon after this, there was a tragedy and one of the two twins was nifta, passed away. So now, the second child, the surviving child, is really a Safa B'chor. He's a Safa B'chor. Now, Safa B'chor, before the day, 30th day, yeah, before the 30th day. Yes, before the 30th day, of course. He passed away before the time for the pidyon came along. So now, the surviving child is a Safa B'chor. Fine. Now, you can't be koyfa on the parents to make a pidyon for a Safa B'chor. The parents declared that they're not interested in making a pidyon. If we want, we could be malamet chus that they did a pidyon in their own rights, in the privacy of their own home or in a neighboring town because they didn't want to be subject to the laws and regulations of pidyon. Bishlame, if I have a chiyuv to make a pidyon, it's vadai that I have to make a pidyon, then you can regulate how I should make the pidyon. But being as it is that it's only misafik, so don't tell me what to do. But I'll call upon him. There was no recorded pidyon for that child that was a safik, chayr, safik, not chayr. Now the story continues that in the month of Cheshvan, another chayr, Peterechem, was born. So the first kayin on the list, we're going to call him Ruvain, comes along to this father of the child and says, I am the one whose chaylik this is. I'm the kayin with whom, by virtue of the tanai that was made publicly, to which you are assigning, you agreed, you have to use me as the kayin. Says the Aviyah Ben of the child that was born in Cheshvan, says to Ruvain, who was on top of the list, he says, no, I don't have to use you. Meicha Teisa, that this is the first eligible child for Pidyon Aved. I will argue that the surviving child that was born on Tishrei, the surviving twin, he was the Bchur. But you don't have a raya that he wasn't the Bchur. I'll call upon him, Hamaitzi Mechaveri Olava Raya. If you can prove that child was not the Bchur, then I will have to agree that my child is the first opportunity for Pidyon Aved in this town, and I may have to use you as the Kayim. But you have no Hechach, you have no Raya that child was not the Bchur. And since it's possible that child was the Bchur, in the absence of proof that my child is the first on the list, I don't have to deal with you. So Reuven was stumped. What can he do? So now Shimon HaKoyin, the second Kayin on the list, comes to the Aviyah Ben who gave birth, who had a child in the month of Cheshvan, and says, look, you just dismissed Reuven on the basis that your child is the second Kayin in town, not the first Kayin in town. I'm the second Kayin on the list. Use me. So the Aviyah Ben of the month of Cheshvan says to Shimon, no, HaMoitzi Mechaveri Olav Araya. Maybe the surviving child is not the Bchur. In which case, my son belongs to the first one on the list, and you're the second on the list, so I don't have to give it to you. So when Reuven comes, he dismisses him that maybe this is the second on the list. When Shimon comes, he dismisses him that maybe his child is the first on the list. And the male, he wants to be mishtamed from this whole process. Why is he doing this? Because he has a cousin who's a kohen, he wants to use him. So I'll call upon him, since no kohen has a tviya that could be mechayivim to use them, he wants to wriggle out of this arrangement to do what he wants. The problem is that by doing so, he's going to mess up the whole system, because any future bchur will be able to continue with this argument. So they sent the shayla to the Ben Ishchai. What should we do? What's the eitzah? Hamaytzi mechaveri olav arayah is the time? This is a choshim mishpatik din that they made. They made a heskin. They made a heskin that I'm going to be, that I'm Meshubit, that whoever has the first child Meshubit to Reuven, whoever has the second child Meshubit to Shimon, the third to Levi, but you have to prove that I am that person. You have to prove that I am the first. Neither Reuven can prove that this is the first eligible child for Pidyon, and nor can Shimon prove that it's the second.
You can make a new goyer.
Perhaps. If everybody's masking, then they keep him back, they'll make a new goyer. Yes, good point. Yeah, good point. Exactly. Levi is going to say the second girdle, I'm going to come out tenth. Why should I be subject to another girdle? We're not even going to see it in any case. Yes. Okay. It's also mitzvah that makes him of the So it says, the Kohen has to prove that this child needs to be redeemed.
Right, but if you redeem it, and the truth of the matter is,
you're asking a good question. The truth of the matter is, and the Ben Ishchai brings the story the way it occurred, it could be that even if there would have been a pidyon on that first child, the second Kohen would still be able to play the same game, because he'll argue what happened there was not a pidyon, it was found. Prove there was a pidyon? There's a chatzad in the suffix that was done in the suffix that it wasn't really a pidyon because the child was not the firstborn. Now he gave him 5 coins. He did it. Snamazoi. Lotus me de suffix, but you don't have a echlech. So you're right. That even if there would have been a pidyon, maybe the same would hold. Rabbi Yisrael says the Ben Ishchai refers us to a Gemara in.
Well, let's put the case of the right in
I don't know. So in some city in Babel. In Babel, yeah, in Iraq. so what? I say, you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha. You do the pita. Bracha is not makir. Fine, but you can't be mechayiv. You can't be mechayiv.
But they should have a chiyuv.
Could be. It could be. It could be. Yeah. Rabbi Isai, so the Ben Yishai refers to a Gemara here in Ksubis, Daf Tzadik Dalad Amid Beis. The Gemara says the following: Hanu Trei Shtari Da'asu L'Kameidir of Yosef. The maid of Yosef, there was a man who was not an honest man, and he sold his field twice. He sold his field to Reuven, and then he sold the same field to Shimon. And he pocketed the money and he skipped town. Nobody knows where he is. So he sold the field twice, right? Sounds familiar. This is not something that was mischadish in the 21st century. So obviously the second sale is null and void, because the second sale he was selling something that wasn't his. I can't sell you someone else's house. Once he did the first sale, he's disassociated himself with the house. He doesn't own the house anymore. So the second sale has no validity. It's nothing. The problem is that both people have a shtar that they purchased the house, and it's not clear which kinyan happened first. Why? Because one shtar says b'chamisha b'nissan, and the other shtar says b'nissan stam. So one shtar says on the fifth day of Nissan, we, the undersigned, witnessed how Reuven sold his house to Shimon. The other sign says Nissan of Tav Shein Ayin, we witnessed this transaction. So the question is, which one happened first, which one happened second? So Rabbi Yosef paskind that the one whose star says b'chamishi b'nissan gets the field. Why? Because the second one has to prove that his purchase took place in the first 4 days of Nissan. In the absence of that proof, Nissan only tells us that somewhere between Aleph Nissan and Chaf Tes Nissan the sale took place. There's nothing in the star that indicates that it happened anywhere before Chaf Tes Nissan. It could happen on Chaf Tes Nissan. So as far as your star is concerned, it's possible that it happened later. But he definitely happened on Haynes, and if you can prove that it was earlier, you'll get the shtar. You'll get the field.
Nobody's moksod. Nobody's got the field.
No, it's only mitzad the shtar. They're all coming with the shtar. They're all coming with the shtar. It's not chazoka. So, fine. So the Shimon was makabel asadim. What can I do? It's correct. I should have been more careful. I should have had the date written precisely on the shtar. But he says to Rav Nachman, listen. To Rav Yosef, he says, listen, fine. You can't give me the field, because I understand, I don't have a raya that my purchase happened before his. But one thing is for sure, that the seller, Reuven, or the seller, whoever it was,
he knows.
He's a ganav. He extracted from me $1 million illegally, because I paid full price for that field. Now, any further deals that he would have done after the end of Nissan would have been really leaning to me, there would have been a shibud to me. For example, if he sold a different field in the beginning of Iyar, I can go to the lekech of that field and say, I'm sorry to inform you this, but the person who sold you a field was a ganef, who owes me £1 million somewhere in the month of Nisan, and you made a purchase in the month of Iyar, and therefore I'm going to take the field away. Right? That's the din of shibud. Shibud. Right? He's about chayiv to me from the end of Nisan. And all of his karkois, all of his nechasim are meshubah to that chayiv from Nisan and on. So he says to Rabbi Yosef, I understand that you can't give me a harshah to be tayyir from the lekuchis anywhere in the month of Nisan, because there's an argument that maybe my kinyan happened at the last moment of Nisan, but I'll call upon him, give me a harshah to be tayyir from Iyar and on. Allow me to be tayyir from Iyar and on. From Iyar and on, it's clear, I definitely have priority over anybody who purchased in the month of the year. So maybe I'll find someone who bought a field of him in the month of the year, and I'll tell him, I'm sorry, you should have had your lawyer do a better search on the seller. He sold you a house, but he was owing to the bank a lot of money, and there was a lien on it. That's the din. In Torah we say, right, certainly if there's a chrais in the shtar, but if there's no chrais, even there's a day that says a chrais to a seifim, that automatically any sale that a person has binds all of his nechasim against that to protect that sale, to secure that sale. Says Rabbi Yosef, my dear friend, I would love to help you, but I can't. I can't give you the field, and I can't give you arshtah to be tighter from ear. Why not? Because it's possible that your mechira actually did happen on the second day of the month of Nisan. In which case, In which case, you were not robbed in any way. Your field is available for you to collect. You have a technical problem that you can't prove that it's yours, but it could be that it's yours. So on what basis can you go to the Lekeach of Iyar and say, I am a content, you owe me this land? He could tell you, you had a good Mechira. You have a legal technicality that doesn't allow you to actualize the Mechira, but the Mechira could have been a good Mechira. You don't have a riot. There's nothing in Yishtar that indicates that your Mechira actually took place after the month, after the fifth day of Nisan. In fact, you yourself were just going to argue a minute ago that it happened at the beginning of Nisan.
Once a fellow takes possession of the field,
the field
can
Israel
guy, doesn't that kind of cancel out his claim and then he's
practicing normal? No, because he's taking it only in Misafik. The Mechira is where the Shibut takes place. It could be that your Mechira was a legitimate Mechira, in which case there's no Shibut.
Can't they both
be believed? Oh, Zot, the Gemara, my Takante. What is the Eitzah? To help this person? This person is definitely an innocent man, right? We couldn't help him the first way around, the second way around. What? He what? He didn't do a proper search, fine. But, fine. But there's somewhere along, what? Someone has a shibud here.
You have to make sure that on that date that he sold him, the guy was didn't have any money to pay the chayim. Because it could be that for 2 weeks time this guy's a millionaire, he's selling him the property.
Doesn't matter, even if he has cash.
He's selling property at the time that he sold him the property, he had enough money to pay the chayim.
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but the halacha is not like that. The halacha is that the karkois become a shuvit regardless. No matter how much metalcoin you have or how much cash you have in the bank.
People make money, lose money. You can go years backwards. Hey, 1 second here.
No, the question is, if at the time of the Mechira, he defrauded someone, he became a Balchayf to someone, either because he had a loan that he took out Al-Pidim, or because he was a Ganev and he extracted money, Shalokidim. But all of his Nechasim would be security for that Choyf that he has. Even if he has a lot of cash in the bank, if the person would cash out the money, of course, then that would be Mesalat to Choyf, and then you're right, then the future buyers would be protected. But in the absence of the Choyf being paid back, any Nechasim that were in his possession at the time that he was nischayiv on this chayiv, or meshubit to the chayiv, regardless of how much money he has. When you come to be told, if you're right, that you first take from the metalfon, and only the last resort you go to the karkois. But the shibud is chal on the karkois. So what's the Gemara say? My takante, zokti Gemara, very simple. Rabbi Yosef gave the mates. He said, go over to the other fellow who has a shtar of hey nisan, and ask him to give you a shtar harsha, a power of attorney to act on your behalf. That any rights that he has to anything pertaining, any rights that resulted from his shtar of Hey Nisan, he's passing over those rights to you. It's not going to cost him anything. He has his field. What does he care? Get that shtar from him. Then I can give you a tzad. Then you can go to the Lekuchas of Iyar and say, Niman of Shach, this land belongs to me. If my land happened second, then I was the one who was defrauded by the Meicher, so Mamela, I'm Takad Baldin, that's entitled to take this land away from you. But Hoya, if you're going to argue that my Mechira happened first, then it's not me who has a Dinu Dvarim with you. I have a Shtar Hashah in my pocket that the second Meicher, the other Meicher, entitles me to act on his behalf, so give it to me, Mikoyach his Mechira, which would have been the second Mechira. That's what the Gemara says. And that's what happened in that story. So the Ben Ishchai, this is the Eitzah for our story as well. The Kohen, Shimon, Reuven was on top of the list, should write, Reuven and Shimon between the two of them, either one should pass over any entitlements, any rights that he has as a result of his chalukah to the other. And then, whoever has that document should go to the child that was born in Iyar, in Cheshvan, and say, Rebid, Memanashach, either me, or the fellow Kohen on whose behalf I am now acting, are entitled to be the Kohenim on this pidyon, and memela you will have resolved your issue. Atkan, the tshuva of the Ben Ishchai. In other words, you're right that the Shimon, you're right that the person who had the child in Iyar could claim against each individual Kohen that prove that you're my Baal Din, prove that you have a tviya to me, but he can't make that claim against both kohenim. Now normally you can't make a pidyon with two kohenim, but each kohen, since this is a choshe mishpat to get in, each kohen can pass on his chus, his right, he can pass it on to another kohen. What?
So only one will do it.
Only one will do it.
So will the second one move on to next?
So they can divide the Chamish line. They can divide the Chamish line. And okay, I'm not sure. but the thing is, they can do it the other way as well.
Are you saying that the second Kohen has the rights, his rights, and the first rights, and the first Kohen's rights?
If the first Kohen gives him those rights,
yeah,
then he can have them.
So he's got two lots of rights.
Because the person is saying
to his rights.
Yes, exactly. If he's now acting on behalf of himself and the other Kohen, then that will resolve the issue. Now, Beisai, let's just take a look at one Rashi on the parasha. I don't know if the father has a choice here, because that was the deal chatchila. The deal chatchila was you're going to follow the list. So he's being misalik each one on the basis that you're not the one who's now on the list. So if it's not me, it's the other one. I'm here, and he's giving me his rights. Rabbi say, let's learn a pasuk chumash. The pasuk says, "Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe leimor Pimchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Akoyin heishiv es chamosim al bnei Yisrael." And Rashi tells the on the words, "Ben Elazar ben Aaron Akoyin." Why does the pasuk have to say ben Aaron Akoyin? If you look just a few pasukim earlier, it says, "Vayar Pimchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Akoyin vayokom mitoich ha'ida v'ikach reimach biyadu." So we know who Pimchas is. You know that he's a grandson of Aaron. He's a son of Elazar. Why does the Torah have to say this?
Again.
What?
Again, you mean.
Why does it have to repeat it in this parasha? Yes, again. Zok Rashi brings in the Medrash. Lefi shehoyu hashvatim mevazim Moshe. After what Pinchas did, the shvatim were mevazim. What did they say? Hara'isem ben putize shepitei mavi imo yagolim lavoidos kechovim vaharag nosi shevet miYisrael. So Gemara in Sanhedrin that the Shvatim were mevazeh Pinchas, and what was the design? How were they mevazeh him? They said about Pinchas that his grandfather was a mefatim agolim lavedus zara, and he was a noyded nasi miYisrael. Yeah, Yisrael had two very chashuv sonimos. He had one son of Moshe Rabbeinu, another son of Aaron Akoyin. Moshe was Aaron's Elazar Akoyin. Moshe was Elazar's uncle and Elazar's great uncle at the same. Pinchas' uncle and Pinchas' great uncle. He was Pinchas' uncle because Tzipora was the sister of Pinchas' mother, and he was Pinchas' great uncle, of course, because he was the brother of Aaron, was Pinchas' grandfather. So the Bnei Shvatim said, with regard to Pinchas, his grandfather was a mefatim, a golem l'avodah zarah, and then he went and he was holding the nasi b'Yisrael. So therefore the Pasuk comes and is miyachas him. No, he's not a grandson of Yisrael, he's a grandson of Aaron HaKohen. Rabbi said, there's a simple question here. And the kasha is, the shaila is like this, I mean, what was going on with Yishmot? What was their taina to Pinchas? Mimonashuch, did they know the halacha that Abayel Aram is kanoim peigim bay? Did they know that halacha? Were they aware that Pinchas was noye kadin? If they knew it, and l'chayr at this point they should have known it, so why are they being mevazim for? He was not a kadin. Moshe Rabbeinu was masking to what he did. What are you being mevazim for? On the other hand, if they didn't know the din even at this point, and they believed that he was not a shalei kadin, so what are you talking about his grandfather being a mafatim adolim of the Zohar, saying that he's a ritzayach? He was a nasi b'sal shalei kadin. What's in again his grandfather over here? How does his grandfather come into the picture? And even more, if you're going to talk about his grandfather, Rashi brings earlier that Yisrael is lo yiniach v'edazar shalei avdom. Yisrael was a koimer l'avedazar. Why are they talking about the fact that he was mefatim agolim l'avedazar? Mefatim agolim means he would take these young calves and fatten them like veal, but not for the sake of the meat, for avedazar, so that they can offer him l'avedazar. Why is that negiah? Say that he was an avid avedazar. He was a koimer l'avedazar. He was a leading figure in the world of Avodah Zarah. Not that he was Mefatim the Agolim. And more so, L'chayda, there's no argument that Pinchas did a good thing. Pinchas stopped the Magefa. This is something that was lightning called Yisrael. Everybody saw it. So what do they want? They wanted the Magefa to continue. V'teyotzer ha-Magefa me'al b'nei Yisrael. V'yu ha-Mesim ha-Magefa above the Esrim Olaf. Pinchas stopped them again. Pinchas saved their lives. What was their taina to Pinchas? And if you're going to have a taina, then taina that you did something wrong. Don't talk about his grandfather. What's in the gay's grandfather? At least I want to share with you a very beautiful pshat in this Rashi. The Shvatim understood that Pinchas was Noyeg Kadin. Avadi was Noyeg Kadin. Afterwards, everybody remembered the din. It was a nes min hashamayim that in halacha should be nis'alim from all of Kal Yisrael b'chdei that Pinchas yitel saroy eloy, he should receive the kahuna. But once they heard it, they knew it. Yes, Abayel Arami is kanoim pagim. So what's the taina? The taina wasn't that Pinchas was noy chulik kedin. He did something heipacha halacha. They were arguing against what was Pinchas' motivation. Why did he do what he did? Moshe Rabbeinu was there. All of the Bnei Yisrael were there. All the Rashi, all of the Nesim were there. Everybody was there. Dafke Pinchas is the one who takes this action. Why was he the one who did this? Why was it him? L'maisa, he did. He was not a kedin. But just because you did something kedin doesn't mean that you were motivated purely by altruistic drives. They argue the following. They argue that it's possible that sometimes a person should behave like a bikanoi, and the thing that he does is oisgalt nal pidin, but what's driving him is not his yira shamayim. There are other people who are greater yira shamayim than him, and they don't take this action. What's driving him is perhaps midas rois. Midas rois. But he's a yira shamayim. He's not going to be noyeg. He's not a person has in himself, let's say, a midas achzorius. He likes to scream. He likes to fight. But the Torah doesn't allow him to fight. As soon as he's given an allowance, al pidin to fight, he's the first one to jump forward and take the fight. Are you talking? You're letting this person into the shul. Why are you allowing him? Why are you giving him an aliyah? He did kach v'kach. It could be takas kuftanish ken aliyah. But why is it burning in you more than in anybody else? This was the time that the Bnei Ashvatim had to come. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't rush to do this. Nobody else rushed to do this. Perhaps they were unaware of the fact that nis'alma mimenu halacha. Right? That's something that the Torah tells us. At the time, they didn't know this. Why Pinchas? Why Pinchas? Why did Pinchas run? So they said, if you look at Pinchas' grandfather, you'll see a tenua of midas rois. Not that he was an oved avodah zarah. The being mefatim agolim is a very cruel act. To be mefatim agolim means to stuff them. Somebody once told me, if you go into a meat plant and you see how they make veal, you'll never eat it, right? But in any case, to be mefatim the agolim, and for what purpose? Only so that you should then be shoychitit. They would overstuff the animal. Only you should be shoychitit. So his grandfather was also a kanoi in his mistaken beliefs, right? But with an azori, Pinchas was yoyrish that midah from his grandfather. That's what the Shavatim says. We don't have a taina to him. He did what he did. And that's why he says, Mevazi noisei. They didn't have a taina that was a halachish, a taina that he was noig shaloi kedin. They were mevazi the person, the gavra. The pula that he did was maybe acceptable, but the man doesn't really represent the piety that he seems to have expressed with this act. Comes again the Torah and says, no, Pinchas is not a grandson of Yisrael. Pinchas is a grandson of Aaron HaKoyin, and Aaron was Oyev Shalom and Aroid Shalom, and that's what drove Pinchas. Pinchas did it purely because he wanted to be matzah klal Yisrael, purely because he saw the kitchen that it was bringing, purely because he was driven by the same motivation that drove Aaron HaKoyen to go out of his way in order to bring Sholim, Beinish, Lishtoi, Beinodun LaChaveiroi. That's what drove Pinchas to do what he did. And this is what the Torah has made, Pinchas ben Alozo ben Aaron HaKoyen. And perhaps the lesson from this is twofold. First of all, why do you have to be choshed that the person has the wrong motivations? The person did something. If Al Pidin, it's Oitzah Alpin. If Al Pidin, it makes sense. If Lemaisa, it was Oitzah the Magefa. If it serves the agenda of the Rebbeinu Shalom, so what do you have to intervene? What do you have to say? His motivations are wrong. Mechetesa. You never know. You never know. It could appear to you that he's acting like a grandson of a Mafatim Lavedah Zohar, and in fact, he's acting like a grandson of Aaron HaKohen. Helokim Yiro Lalevav, you can't see. But on the other hand, there's also another lesson to be learned from this, that when you're going to do something, you have to think twice. Maybe you're being driven by things other than pure Kavonis Toivus. And that could have an afkamina, because sometimes Al Pidin, you should do it a little differently. There's different ways you should do Teichacha. If you're not certain how you're being, what's driving you, then maybe you're cutting corners in terms of how you're doing things as well. Shem Yashikoyah.